KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Where's he at? Oh, he's live. Good morning to all the listeners there in Radio Land.
Jeez, it took me forever
Facebook
to get
land.
Here.
Wow. Isn't he looking good? Cancer survivor. Jeez.
I'd have been here a lot sooner, last few weeks, but I walked to Sturgis and back. You know, they have people ride to Sturgis.
You didn't even throw the thumb up?
I walked.
You walked?
I walked it.
No wonder you're looking so
I got a t-shirt. I got a new t-shirt that says, I walked to Sturgis.
Look at here. He's even promoting the Vikings.
Vikings story there.
I should have walked to Dakota Fest or
where's
walked
that,
back.
Where's that at?
That's in Mitchell.
I thought I
the
saw you.
Farmers are coming from all over.
Dakota Fest.
It is. It's a really good, really good show they have down there.
That's good.
Wasn't so hot this year either.
No. Know? First day of school today. Watertown, ain't it?
Wow. Watch where you're going out there. I already saw one lady texting as she was driving down the road.
Oh, really?
I honked at her.
Did you?
Yeah.
I saw a lady texting, so I thought I'd text her to let her know she shouldn't be texting.
While driving. Click it or stick it. Is that the new slogan? Have you heard that one yet?
No.
Click your seatbelt and stick your phone away.
Oh. I see.
Kind of catchy,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
You like that?
That works good.
Yeah.
Yeah, click it.
I'm trying to learn. I haven't stuck it away quite yet.
I know. Just so many people are out there looking at their phones going down
the road. What was in Sturgis this year? Kid Rock?
No, I just walked out there, bought a Coke, and walked back.
No ice.
Coke, no ice. Couldn't find any ice. It's too hot. 105 degrees.
Good morning. Good morning, Jeff from Nebraska.
You know what today is going to be?
Huh? Brandon Seitz. What's today?
Oh, you know, old Stephen Pitch would say it's going to be the makings of a dandy.
Oh, Stephen Pitch.
Yeah.
You know, he must own a body shop in Granite Falls.
Why?
Pitch's Auto Body.
Oh, I didn't even know.
He's everywhere. That guy's a multi-talented guy.
The guy should own stock in Dairy Queen. Oh, ice cream cones he eats.
Ice cream. Are they all Dairy Queens?
I don't know.
There may be Zestos in there.
You
got to help everyone out a little bit.
He does a good job.
Hey, let's quit messing around. Let's talk fishing. Let's talk adventures.
Hunting.
Yeah, let's talk.
It's getting to be that fall
scouting season.
I know.
Even around here, they're starting to get excited about a few horns here and there.
Yeah.
What do we call him? Elvis. Elvis has been sighted.
Really?
Up in North. East, South Dakota, South, West, North Dakota, and the western edge of Minnesota. Elvis
the pelvis.
Is alive. Elvis still has velvet.
You know Elvis the pelvis?
No, I didn't remember him doing the pelvis thrust.
I'm his brother Enos the pelvis.
Enos the Butthead?
Yeah, I guess.
Butthead 1, Butthead 2.
There we go. All right.
Oh, my word. How are we doing there, Jim Carroll? We've got Jim Carroll live with us from Minot, North Dakota this morning. Been on a little bit of an adventure, Jim?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I sure have. I've been going full throttle.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been kind of a really busy last 6 weeks or so. I think I tallied a whopping 4 nights at home in my own bed in July, and August has been more of the same. I just got back from a fly-in trip up in Northwest Ontario. Came home, jumped in a boat yesterday, went out to Lake Skakuia to help my buddy do a little pre-fishing for the AIM Weekend Walleye Series Championship here in North Dakota, which starts tomorrow. And, this morning is kind of like the first morning where I've just grabbed a cup of coffee and watched the sunrise with a few minutes to myself. So it's been nice.
That is good. And Jim Carroll's up north-central North Dakota, probably, just 30, 40 miles from the main areas of Lake Sakakawea, probably, about 100 miles west of Devil's Lake?
Yeah, that's about right. I'm about 40 miles from the east end of Lake Sakakawea. Of course, the giant sprawling reservoirs, most of the listeners will know. So, and it's nice that, you know, we have both ends of the reservoir going right now. Fishing has sure been good down there.
Yeah, that, and traditionally with migrations, that's not always the case. But, you know, Jim, I've been waiting to listen to how that adventure went up into North Dakota, which isn't, North Dakota's not too far for you either, but this was a little further than normal.
Well, yeah, I was actually up all the way up to Sioux Lookout, Ontario, which is about an 8-hour drive, 8.5 hour Sheminut here. And we drove up there and jumped on a beaver float plane and flew north, up north of Waxahachie Lake, which a lot of your listeners will be familiar with, a very popular drive-in walleye destination. And purpose of the trip was to scout for an upcoming archery hunt that we have going on in September. And we had heard the lakes up there were a little bit low. They haven't had a lot of rain here in August. And so we kind of went up to fluff the pillows in the cabin and check out things and you know, see how the water is going to be. Obviously, when you're moose hunting, you know, water's real important. You got to be able to get back into the low-lying areas. And so so that was the purpose of the trip. And secondary, of course, well, not too secondary to me, but was the fishing. And we had a chance to do a lot of fishing as well. So it was just a great, great few days. It went so fast, and it's just peaceful and beautiful up there. You know, you're on this lake, and these three lakes that were connected. We were on Mascara Lake, was our main base camp. And we flew in there. We saw a bull moose standing in the water just a couple miles away from camp, and that got us all charged up and to land a plane in there and roll up to the dock. And when the plane leaves, you know, you're all by yourself. I think I saw one jet airplane in 3 days. I saw a lot of float planes, but you're in the wilderness, and it's just a neat experience.
And isn't that what we all dream of doing a little bit here and there? Maybe not for a whole year, but, you know, for a few months, that'd take care of a few of these little bitty concerns that we think we have that are not big concerns, but they're small and they're really not big. You get up there for a few days and voila.
Beautiful, beautiful area.
The only thing you need to think about is, when am I going to start the fire?
Heck, the further north you go, the longer the sun stays up too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sitting there watching the sunset, you know, I just had this thought. I mean, this little lake that I'm looking at looked exactly like this 1,000 years ago, and nothing has really changed. And it's just beautiful. You know, I grew up on the prairie, as a lot of us did, but for a rolling hill, you know, you can see forever. But up there, you're in the bush. You're in the trees and the rocks and certainly the areas that we were looking at for scouting for moose are very thick. You know, it's going to be a close range deal when you call in a bull moose that's looking for that cow, and you're standing there with a sharp stick in your hand. It's going to be exciting. It's all going to happen really at close range, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
They're really not the size of a gazelle, are they?
No, you have to pre-plan everything when it comes to a moose hunt. In court, if you're lucky enough to get an animal, you know, it's the old saying: the work begins.
Yeah, the work will begin on a beast that size to haul those things out of the backwater bog and. So Jim, are you in a blind then, or are you doing some stalking, or are you blind? And you said something about calling a bull moose in.
Yeah, so it's during the rut. Archery season up there is during the rut, and you know, the ability to call, which I certainly can do. We tried. We had some of the birch horns there. It takes a while. It takes a lot of practice to be able to make something that resembles a cow call. But you're calling them. And you know, the bulls are coming. And so we did pre-position some tree stands in some key areas. We moved some tree stands. We had a couple tree stands that got crushed by a windstorm, so we had to move some things around. Interestingly, moose do not look up. They don't have any notion of danger really from above. And so if you can, you know, position the hunter in a stand and then the caller can move around a little bit to get the bull by the tree stand, you know, your odds of success go up. They don't see very well, but they sure can smell you, and they'll use that game a lot. They'll try and circle you downwind. So again, if you can get somebody up elevated, it'll improve your chances of success. But the shots are close, and we, you know, there's certainly a good chance that you know, an arrow will fly from the ground level too. You know, we have trees stands in a few key areas, but there's a lot of good area up in that area. And it was really cool to going scouting and looking every place, literally every place that we went, that you'd look and go, oh, that's a nice low looking area that looks moosey. You know, you go up on shore and there'd be just tracks everywhere. So
moose tracks,
pumped.
Moose poop. Moosey.
Moosey and you know, you see all sorts of other wildlife too. It's just very neat up there. We watched the otters play, we watched the eagles, we saw plenty of lot of wolf tracks.
A lot of black bear up there too?
Yeah, there are some bears around. You definitely wanted to leave the cover up on the barbecue open, because if a bear comes around camp and the barbecue lid is down, they'd love to knock those things over to see what's inside of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Give them a spatula. Tell them to start flipping for you even.
Right. Yeah, you definitely don't want to be throwing the bacon grease over the rail of
it's,
the
It's amazing
camp.
What they can smell from miles away.
Yeah. And as fun as all that was, of course, me, I'm a fisherman. We would go out in the morning in the bush early and try and get our work done before it got too warm. And then in the afternoons, it was walleye time. And, you know, of course, it's a fly-in deal, so you got a 14-foot boat with a little 15-horse motor on it and three of us in the boat. And so you're going nowhere fast, but it just took me right back to fishing when I started, when I was a kid, when my Uncle Dan took me fishing when I was 7 and 8 years old out of a little, you know, 14-foot boat with a 9.9 back then is what we had for an engine.
9.9 Janssen?
Janssen, yeah. The first one was a Janssen. And,
Jimmy's from Minot. He understands this.
Yeah.
Janssen, Olsen.
Yeah. The J sounds like a Y.
And it just reminded me of that, you know, you're out in this lake, and we had a little mix-up. One of our members of this adventure forgot the depth finder at the office in the outfitter's office there. So for the first couple of days, we didn't even have sonar or anything, but it didn't matter. Fishing was just that good.
You could Those fish haven't seen too many human humans dangling a worm down there, huh?
No. And actually, Lynn, we didn't bring live bait either. All we did is we just used some Berkeley power baits and Maxent, that flat nose minnow, that new one that they have all was just super for us. We cast a few Johnny Darters too and got some nice fish. But
did you?
No live bait, no sonar for the first 2 days. No worries. We caught tons of fish. I mean, it was just a riot. It was just a lot of fun.
So when you go up there, are you running that, running those up? We still call them plastics. I don't know why we call them plastics. Do you run that on a plain hook, or are you running that on a jig? I mean, I know you're keeping it simple, but and they'll take about anything. But what are you doing to simplify your fishing adventure?
Yeah, we took just the bare minimum tackle, you know, a couple of rods and a handful of jigs, and that's what we were tipping our plastics with. That new Berkley product, that Maxent product, if you haven't seen that before, it's the power bait minnow, flat nose minnow. Check that out. It has a really nice consistency. I think it's their best power bait that they've ever had. I had just a few bags of those with. I should have had more because my buddy Kevin, once he found the white color and started wailing on fish, that bag went in his pocket.
Do they look like that twitch tail then? Are they a straight tail or are they a split tail?
A scissors tail, yeah, tail. But the consistency of it is just super. It's a soft bait and has a really nice motion to it. And you know, and it's nice not to have to bring live bait up there, you know. And you just don't need it. Fishing was just fast and furious, you know, once we... kind of in this time period, typically you want to look for offshore structure. You don't want to really be on shoreline. So you just kind of line up the few islands that were out in the lake, and you could kind of guess where the humps could be in between them. And we just, cruise around and did like Grandpa did. You'd drop something heavy down, and okay, the bottom's coming up. And wherever you felt the rock is where we caught fish. And
yeah.
it was super, it was easy. And again, it just kind of time warped me back to when I was a kid, just starting out fishing.
I have to be honest with you. A lot of the questions I get on the street are, "Hey, we're heading to Canada," and not only does it inspire me to go see this someday, but also they're like, "Well, what should we bring with?" So, that's why I was kind of, quizzing you a little bit on how you keep it simple. And these guys and these groups of people that head up there for their little adventure, they want it simple too. So, Jim, last 4 or 5 minutes we have here, though, we have other adventures on mind, and we're going to start to get ready for. Recently, there was a Minnesota State Championship on Lake of the Woods, and for AIM, and just some monstrous weights coming out of there, and quite a few fish coming out of there over that 28-inch slot, which now for the National Walleye Tour event, guys, that's what they're heading to. They need one of those.
Yep.
Or one or two a day. Tell me what's ahead for you.
Well, I'll be heading up there next week for the National Walleye Tour Championship. We are under a slot, so we can have one fish over 28 inches in the boat, and anything between 19 and a half and 28 inches needs to be released immediately. Mm. So we can't possess one of those. So the game will be to hopefully catch that, have some big fish luck, and catch that big fish every day, and then get some good unders to go with it. So, again, we'll be looking for one over 28 and four under 19 and a half. And typically, my experience on Lake of the Woods is those fish don't necessarily live too near each other. Sometimes.
I think it'd be tougher to get the four under 19.
That will come into this, and whoever wins will have some good fortune as well.
Yeah.
There's no question.
It's going to be more of a challenge, Jim, I think, just to get your four under 19 and a half than that one over 28 out there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to think about. The timing of the bite, do the big fish go in the mornings, they go in the afternoons. If you don't get that big fish, you have no chance of winning. The bite up there has just been tremendous. As we just talked about, the AIM Weekend Walleye Series, where they measure fish and release them, aren't under those slot regulations. So all those 25s, 26s, and 27s that are in there count under that format. And, 91 pounds to win. 10 fish for 91 pounds.
Hey.
I think 18 teams had over,
I believe,
40
yeah.
pounds the first
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
It
that's,
was
that's
just
a lot
absolutely
of weight.
A blast fest. I mean, they had great fishing. I'm fired up to go out there. I know pre-fishing is going to be a lot of fun, but there will be definitely a little extra pressure dealing with the slot on tournament days.
Well, what you're going to struggle with is just wanting to go out there and keep creaming on those 25 to 30-inch fish. And you're like, okay, now let's go find some of those little soggers aren't going to weigh.
Yep.
Then they're the ones that are hanging out with the big fish, so off you go. Here we go to start to find our 17-inchers. And you're right, that's not going to be that easy because the guide boats, the launches – the everyday fun fishermen have been beating on those under 19 and a halfs all year.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a daunting challenge. It's and as I said, the guy that wins this, the angler that wins this thing will have had some good fortune and will have earned the victory. There's no doubt.
Yeah. So that's one adventure. Recently, though, that AIM in North Dakota has just continued to be big and exciting and a lot of weights, and that AIM championship coming up in Sakakawea right there on your home waters, that's got to be kind of fun to see what's going to happen there too.
Yeah, I was actually out yesterday with one of the guys pre-fishing, and I'll just say it, fishing is good. is really good. And there's going to be some fish caught, no doubt. The lake's just fishing really well this year, and it's all set up. So I think fishing, there's going to be some really nice fish caught in the next couple days. They start tomorrow morning out of Indian Hills, which is the midsection of the lake. Interestingly, it's a little bit different this year than what I would have expected it to be in that, you know, we sent a lot of water to South Dakota this year. You guys that are around Oahe certainly know that. You've seen the big rise. Our dam's been kind of wide open. We are running our overflow tubes out beside the dam full out. We were pulling, you know, throwing 60,000 cubic feet per second of water down in Missouri for a long time. And it's sort of changed the game. We have a huge amount of smelt in Lake Skokie, near record historic numbers of smelt. And ordinarily, I would expect to see a lot of smelt in that Indian Hills area. The midsection right now should just be chock full of it. A lot of times when it's like that, we're almost trying to get away from the masses of smelt and try and find some fish that aren't, you know, around the edges and not buried in mile after mile of the stuff. But this year, because of all the water that they've pulled through the dam, it seems like the middle section is there's not a lot of smelt in the middle section, and I think what's happened is they've all been pulled to the bottom end. And I'm getting reports from the salmon guys. The salmon fishing's great out there right now, and I'm getting reports from the salmon guys that they're taking some big walleyes, you know, in deep water as they're trolling for salmon. So I have a feeling that a lot of the smelt are down in the bottom end, and I'm sure they have dragged some of the really big fish with them.
Yeah.
So that being said, the fish that got left behind up the reservoir are pretty hungry. And I think fishing's been great. I saw a lot of South Dakota boats out there again yesterday. We've seen a lot of guys up from South Dakota all season long up here on Skokie.
Yeah, there have been a lot of excitement from the South Dakota boys that have been heading up there to test their wares on a different reservoir system. But we have come to right at here at the end, Jim. We want to thank you for joining us this morning, talking about moose hunting, talking about fishing, talking about NWT, talking about Skokie. We covered it all. Good morning. Also to Jeff White, Jared Fredericks is joining us. Jim, a parting shot quick.
Hey, I had a great time. Thanks, guys. And a real big shout-out to Slate Falls Outposts. That was the outfitter that we flew in out of Sioux Lookout, Ontario. Those guys were just great to us and made for a great and memorable trip. Can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, great shout-out.
Thank you very
all
much.
All right, Jim Carroll has been with us here this morning on the Water, in the Air here, Watertown, South Dakota.
Yeah.
We'll send this
another
baby
week.
Another week, yes, another just week. Another week. We'll send this baby right on over to Randy Grimes for
Mr. G.
The news.